I can't miss that. But, well, that's awesome. I hope you guys are enjoying your spring break. Tonight we're going to talk about, the title of this lesson is called Set Free.
Oh, come on.
So we're going to talk about our motivation and being what needs to be our motivation as disciples. Amen.
Amen.
So I'll pray quick, all right? God, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you so much that we have a new brother, Sean, God.
Yeah.
I just pray that you can use this lesson tonight, use the scriptures, God, and that we could just really be women who are motivated the way you want us to be motivated, and that we have hearts that want to please you and be our best for you, and that you can just really use us to do amazing things for you. We love you so much and pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so being set free. So some of you, if you don't know this about me, I love to work out. Like, I'm one of those weird people who actually, like, enjoys working out. And that's, if I have free time in my day, that's what I will do with it. I love exercising. It gives me a high, I release stress, and I'm all for that. But there have been times in my life where I've been working out for wrong motivation, like because I was really stressed about my weight. And so dieting and working out was coming from a place of almost like abusing it, you know, because I like could not get to a size that I liked. And so even though I liked working out, I started to almost hate it, like hate working out and food and anything reminding me of that, because it just became all consuming. I was obsessed with having to look a certain way, and it just became really stressful because I just, cared more about what I looked like than anything else. Really, that's why I was working out, right? So I ended up, though, being able to kind of shift my thinking from just being healthy. And so then when I was working out, I started to enjoy it because it was something I was doing for me to make myself better, to be healthier. It made me happier. It helped my emotions. And same with eating. I started sleeping better because I was eating certain foods and cutting out certain foods, and my skin got better. Like, it just was more something I was doing to make myself happy, to make myself a better person, and so I can be healthy, so I can be a healthy mom, a healthy wife, a healthy person. And so it's interesting, though, because I was doing the same things all of that time, like watching what I ate, working out, but I used to be miserable doing it, and now I like love it. And so what changed, really? Yeah, my motivation, where I used to be like, beating myself up and just trying to, have this ideal that just wasn't realistic. And then when my motivation was held, I actually started to enjoy myself, and the pressure was off about how I look. And I ended up, now I'm like happy. I'm like, whatever, it doesn't really matter what's on the scale as long as I feel good, right? So, what's interesting is that the same thing can happen to us as disciples. We do the same things, our quiet time, sharing faith, discipling times, all of those things. But have you ever felt like burdened by that? And like, this is hard and I don't enjoy this. I thought I was, Jesus, wasn't this supposed to be life to the full, Jesus? Like, why aren't I happy? And then there are times I'm sure you felt like maybe as a baby Christian where you're doing all of those things for God and you're like fired up and this is awesome and I'm so fulfilled and, being a disciple is the best. And so, it's the same thing though with us, that really it's our mindset and our motivation that right. can get twisted and kind of make discipleship burdensome, right?
Yeah.
So turn with me to Matthew 3. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is our motivation. And Jesus is a great example of this, because Jesus was motivated by his relationship with God. Jesus had a job to do. He was supposed to make disciples, right? He came here to be crucified. So he had things to do, but in the Gospels, you don't get a sense that he did anything out of obligation or because he was supposed to, right?
Yeah.
He just wanted to please God because he loved God. And if you look in Matthew 3, down in verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me?' Jesus answered him, 'Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And then he allowed him to be baptized.
After Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him." This translation is a little different, sorry. So Jesus here was baptized, so he hadn't done a single thing yet. That's recorded, at least, right? He hadn't shared his faith yet. He hadn't done a miracle yet. But what did God say about him? He said, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." And doves in the Old Testament signify approval. So God was like sending down approval on Jesus, saying, I approve of him. I'm with him. And, you know, it's kind of like, why did God do that with Jesus? Just because he was his son. It wasn't about what Jesus did. It was just because Jesus was his son. And so that's why he approved of him and loved him. And it's, I think of it too, how new moms, they call it baby spam. You know, when a mom has a new baby, you'll probably see it with Manami's baby soon. There's just tons of pictures of the baby on social media. And it's not because of anything the baby's doing, you know, right? The baby can't really do anything, you know? But it's just because that the parent is proud of their son or daughter. And so that's why they're like, "Look how awesome my child is," you know? But it's just because that it's your son or daughter. It's like they can spit up and you're like, "That's awesome," you know? And but the thing is, though, is that that's how God feels about us, which is so amazing. Right from the moment we're all baptized, you now have God's approval. That God is proud of you and pleased with you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have God's approval, that God is proud of you and pleased with you? I think that Jesus really understood what it means to have God's approval. And that's why he was so confident, so secure, and so righteous.
Yeah.
And that's also what kept him away from sin, I believe. That he loved God and knew how much God loved him. So he didn't want to hurt God. He wanted to make God happy. I love these statements from Jesus. You can write them down. In John 5, verse 30, Jesus says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I did not seek to please myself, but him who sent me." John 5, verse 44, "How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes only from God?" That's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He's saying, like, I only care about God's glory, you know, God getting glorified. John 8, verse 55. Jesus says, "I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." John 8, verse 29. This one's my favorite. "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I want to be able to say that with my life. I always do what pleases God. Jesus was motivated by his love for God. And the Bible teaches that God's love is what should motivate us as well. My first point is set free by God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5.
Come on, Chelsea.
Come on, Chelsea.
2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So specifically, what about Jesus' love should compel us or motivate us? It's that we should be convinced that he died for us. And that's really what should be our motivator, is that Jesus died for us. He was willing to die for us. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died, it says. And that's what motivated Paul. Look it over in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11, 2 Corinthians 15. Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by God's grace I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective.
However, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but God's grace that was with me. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we preach, and so you have believed. So Paul remembered that he was a sinner. I think that's what motivated him, was how much he had sinned towards God. According to Paul, he believes that he was the worst of sinners.
Yeah.
There are a couple times in the New Testament when Paul tells his conversion story to people. But I can only imagine how many times he actually told his conversion story.
Right.
Because if you read the New Testament, it's almost funny how much Paul, like, his conversion story comes up 3 times in the New Testament, you know? It's not even like it's like this huge book, you know? It's like the New Testament is smaller than the Old Testament, but right. Paul's conversion story makes its way in there 3 times, you know? And so 2 of those were him telling it. So I can only imagine how much he actually told it, which what does that show us? That it was on the forefront of his mind. You know,
right.
You talk about what you think about.
Yeah.
That means that he was always thinking about what God did for him, his conversion story. It was fresh on his mind like it happened yesterday.
Right.
Like, oh, I gotta tell you about what happened to me yesterday. You know, I was persecuting the church of God, and then I was blinded. And, you know, it was just always on his mind. He was so grateful to be a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what God was saving him from, and he knew he did not deserve this life as a disciple. Have you forgotten what God has saved you from? Is it fresh on your mind what God has done for you? You know, one of my best friends, when I was in campus ministry, ended up leaving God after we both graduated college. And I got to spend time with her a few months ago with my other college roommate, who is faithful. She ended up getting engaged a few weeks after we hung out to a great brother who's like just adores her so great. And you know, my roommate or my friend was, she was meeting my kids for the first time. And you could, you know, on by like a worldly standard, she seems to like be fine. Like, you know, she's not a Christian anymore, but she's got this boyfriend, they're in a serious relationship, she's got a great job. And so it like would seem as if her life is fine, but you can just tell that she is so unhappy. And you know, that she even said she feels stuck in her life. She feels stuck. And I could just tell from her watching me and our other friend how, you know, our lives, God is blessing them and we're obviously happy. And you know, I could just tell that she was sad, like that she knew something was missing and something's off. And to me, that's almost like more depressing. Like, I know without God, I would, because I'm like a total mess, I know I would be like in a ditch or in like in serious trouble. I'm not even kidding. But, you know, some of us, I think it's like we would just be like my friend. Like, we'd be fine on a worldly standard, but inside just like unhappy stuff.
Right.
You know, because we're living without our purpose. To me, that's sadder, you know.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, we want to be the hot mess story, but like just that purposeless life. Like, that's what drove me to become a disciple, was feeling so purposeless. You know, Paul says that God's grace for him was not without effect. The Message version says, but because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am, and I'm not about to let his grace go to waste. It even says, he says that he worked harder than all of them, like than all the rest of the disciples, he said. God has done great things for you so that you can do great, so that he can do great things through you.
Right.
Sacrificing for God was not burdensome for Paul because he was fueled by his love for God. He was working hard to earn his right to be a disciple. He wasn't working, you know, he wasn't trying to earn his right to be like a leader or a disciple. But he was just doing those things as a response to God's approval and God's grace. You know, so in marriage, like, what are some things I could do that would make my husband happy, right? Obviously, I could cook. You know, men always like food. They like cooked food, you know? I could clean. My husband especially, he gets, like, stressed out. And I'm one of those person, I can kind of live in a mess. I don't really care. But he, like,
like literally will get like stressed out. Like you can physically see him like tense if you know there's clutter. It's weird personality types, you know what I mean? Some of us are like fine with clutter. It's almost like I like that, you know? And but for him he like can't stand it. Which I actually read a book that says if you like clutter, it's because you have an undealt with anxiety.
Oh.
And the clutter distracts you from the anxiety. So beware.
Wow.
But anyways, so, you know, I could spend time with him. He loves that when I spend time with him and give him attention, right? But, you know, why do I do those things?
Yeah.
You know, it's not because it's like, yeah, well, I married you, like, and I promised I would do all those things for you. Like, no, it's because I love him. I like to make him happy. I want to encourage him, you know, so I don't really care about the cluttery house, but I could, like, I want to work on that for you. I want you to come home and feel at ease, you know?
That's just
it. Oh, I know. It's like a beast.
Can you imagine?
That's so funny. It's just kind of funny. So, but if I have like a bad day or a bad week, and obviously, you know, I have a wild child. And so, you know, sometimes as much as I try to make our house look nice, like he can do like 10 times more damage than I can do, like than I can clean. So like if I have a bad week or if I don't feel like cooking because I'm, you know, exhausted or something, like does Rob just like be like, that's it, you know, marriage over? No, you know? Or even if we're fighting or like, you know, we're not getting along, like, no, he still loves me. You know, he would not leave me because of those things, because that's not why he loves me. It's not about what I do for him, you know? He loves me because he loves me. And those things are just, you know, like icing on the cake for him. Like, you know, and she cooks, and she, you know, does this and takes care of my kids. And but, you know, there's a security in marriage that I love, you know, no matter what. So I feel like comfortable to have a bad day because I know Rob still loves me and he's okay. If I don't feel like cooking, he understands. Like I've got kids and you know what I mean? Like that's fine. There's not this like stress of like, oh, but I gotta put makeup on before he gets home and I gotta do all that. Like no, because he loves me, you know? But here's the thing though. Because of our relationship, why wouldn't I want to be my best for him?
Right.
Like why wouldn't I want to, you know, have a home that where he feels like, you know, he can let down in. And why wouldn't I want to make his favorite meals and, you know, wear his favorite outfits? And why wouldn't I want to do all that? Because I love him and I want to make him happy. And it brings me joy to fulfill my role to him and to make him happy. Like that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I'm happier when he's happy. And, you know, if I'm being half-hearted as a wife, like if I could do just kind of like not want to spend time with him or, you know, hurt his feelings, like I'm unhappy because I can tell I hurt his feelings or man, I kind of blew it today or I was being selfish. I didn't give him my best. And so then I'm unhappy because I didn't give my best to him. And I think it should be the same with us in God. That God is going to love you the same no matter how you perform as a disciple.
Yeah.
But with God being the greatest relationship you ever have, do you feel good about being a half-hearted spouse to God?
Mm.
Do you really want to be that way for God if you love him more than anything, right? If there are things you could do that would make God happy, why not do them if he asks you to do something? You know, even with Rob, so if you ever come to our house and there's breakfast food, just know that Rob made it because I am really bad with breakfast food. Like I make eggs and it looks like regurgitated eggs. Like it's just disgusting. But he makes eggs and it's like he doesn't even use any butter and they taste buttery. They're like fluffy and perfect. So you know the other day he was so busy. He has like a million things to do and I was just really craving eggs. And I'm like, would you mind like making me an egg? I mean, no pressure, you know? And he's like, I'd be happy to, you know? And he was so sincere in that. But, you know, it's like that thing when you love someone, like, you want to make them happy. It's not like a job. It's not like, oh, I guess. I mean, I have to do this, this, and this. But, yeah, sure, I'll add egg to the list. Like, no, he's like, stop, you know, I'll stop what I'm doing and make you an egg. Sure. You know, so if Jesus said, well, I would just love it if you spent time with me every day.
Mm.
I would just love it if you shared your faith with that coworker. I would love it if you forgave that sister.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, why wouldn't you want to do that if
right.
you love Jesus?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to do something he asked you to do?
Mm-hmm.
How does your house look for Jesus? Mm. How is your outfit for Jesus? You know, all those things we would do for a man or someone that we love. How are you doing that for Jesus? Mm. Do you have a life that Jesus is encouraged by? Mm. Would Jesus say you have a have-to attitude or a want-to attitude? And this isn't easy, and it doesn't mean that we're going to run around all day, like, excited about denying ourselves and excited about persecution and all of those things, right? Like, even in marriage, like, it doesn't mean that cleaning and cooking and all that are exciting, no. But it's just about our heart behind it. And when you're in touch with God's love and gratitude that he saved you, that you can't help but be righteous,
right?
And to tell others, it's just overflowing from you.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. That's where we want. We still need to obey God regardless of where our heart is. Yeah. But the goal is to do it from a heart of, I want to please God. I want to be righteous. I want to be my best. Amen?
Amen. Come on, Chels.
So my second point is set free for God. Paul said that he did not deserve to be a disciple. And the craziest thing about that is how intense and hard Paul's life was.
Yeah.
That he felt like he didn't deserve. Look at 2 Corinthians 11.
Come on, Chels.
In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 21. So, all right, I'm just going to also start at the beginning. I wanted to start like halfway through it, but that's confusing. I say this to our shame, we have been weak. But in whatever anyone dares to boast, I am talking foolishly. I also dare. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am talking like a madman. I'm a better one with far more labors, many more imprisonments, far more beatings, near death many times. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the depths of the sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brothers. Labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and lack of clothing. Not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure on me, my care for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? We'll stop there.
Mm.
So, you know, think about all that Paul went through for God. Imprisonment, being shipwrecked, I can't even imagine that. Being stoned, being beaten, being flogged, like all of the things he went through. And then he says, on top of all that, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. I think Paul might have struggled with anxiety because he brings it up a few times. You know, and here he talks about how he has this daily pressure. You know what that feels like? That's like a daily pressure on your chest, you know, that like lump in your chest. Like, but Paul had that about the disciples. You know, that's how he felt, this daily concern for disciples. I've just always found it interesting that the word pressure is in the Bible like this. And, you know, what that shows me is sometimes the pressure we feel to do what's right or share our faith, read our Bible, sometimes it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Why did Paul feel this pressure? It's because he cared so much about people.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's so noble that he cared that much about people.
Right.
And he, like, felt that anxiety, you know, about his brothers and sisters and them doing well, that he would inwardly burn when they were in sin.
Mm.
He had God's heart for people. And, you know, I think compassion for our brothers and sisters, it can be a weakness, and that's actually going to be something that we're going to focus on a little more. Rob's going to talk about it Friday, and then we're going to talk about it next week. But, you know, when we think about our pressure as disciples, because we all feel that, right, at times, like,
yeah,
pressure as a disciple, and, like, oh, I gotta do this, and gotta do this, like, all the have-tos, you know, we've
right.
been talking about.
Yeah.
So when you think about that pressure you feel, is it from a person or is it from the Bible? I think sometimes that could help us filter out, you know, if it's a good pressure or bad pressure. Yeah. If it's like a biblical pressure or if it's like an unnecessary pressure. And if it is an unnecessary pressure, you should just talk to that person, right, who's making you feel that way and get clarification on what that's coming from. And we want to give each other grace the way that God gives us grace, right?
Right.
And we know that we all have differences, and it's not like, you know, discipleship isn't a cookie-cutter thing. It's different for each of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, following the Bible is the same for all of us, but
right.
how it looks in each of our life stages and each of our personal walks with God, our personal, like, job, school, all of that, family life is different, right?
Right.
You know, but... You know, when you think about pressure that we feel for normal discipleship, just thinking about, well, where does that come from the Bible? Because sometimes that helps, I think, thinking about, well, where is that in the Bible?
Right.
And, you know, for me, I used to struggle a lot when Rob and I started working together, comparing myself to him. Because he would just, like, nonstop, like, energy bunny. He could just all day meet with people, be in Bible studies, share his faith without stopping. And I'm the type of person, I'm very introverted, and I do have anxiety and all that. And so, like, I need downtime to, like, recharge and, like, you know. And so, I just had to, you know, help myself understand, like, it's okay that I don't run like Rob. Like,
right.
I can still be effective.
Right.
I can still help women. I still have the same heart as he has, but I'm just not him, you know.
Right.
And that's okay. And... You know, when we call each other higher, like, that needs to come from a place, too, of caring.
Right.
And not just of, like, well, you know, gotta speak the truth to my sister. Like, why were you out there doing that? Like, no, it's gotta come from a place of caring. And, like,
right.
I love her. I want her to get to heaven.
Right.
You know, let me see if she needs help with this, if she needs some spurring or encouragement. Or maybe, you know, she's just got something else going on that I don't quite understand. And that's okay. Or maybe, you know, our walks are a little different. But... You know, at the end of the day, we do have a big calling and mission as disciples that is heavy, right?
Right.
Yeah. And we aren't going to live these carefree, burden-free lives
mm-hmm.
that our friends in the world live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to read more about that, you can study out Psalm 73. That always helps me.
Yeah.
It's David wrestling with, you know, he talks about envying the burden-free life of non-Christians.
Mm.
And how, you know, everything is just great for them. They don't got to worry about all this stuff I got to worry about. But, you know, he brings himself back to, but when I realize where they stand before God, you know,
right.
I realize, amen, that I'm with God. Who have I in heaven but you, God?
Right.
You know, where would I be without you? So he works himself through it in a way that we all need to work ourselves through it.
Right.
You know, but a relationship driven by love is motivated by a want-to attitude.
Yeah.
A have-to attitude. And even if you ultimately don't want to, because, you know, again, it's not that we need to wait until we want to obey God. We still need to obey God regardless.
Right.
You know, ultimately, I hope the thing you want is to please God.
Yeah.
So even if you don't literally feel like, you know, giving someone a ride or something, like, ultimately, if you want to please God, I hope that is what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, I usually, like... 80% of the time, do not feel like being in a Bible study. I just said that publicly, right? It's like we all feel that, right?
Yeah.
And for me, because I'm an introvert, and now as a mom, gosh, it's like even harder to get out the door. So like, I usually don't want to do that. I just have to obey.
Right.
Because it's the right thing to do, and I want to please God. That is my heart. I do want to please God. And I do want to help women get to heaven.
Yeah.
That, at the end of the day, is definitely what I feel. So, how do I help women get to heaven? I gotta be in the Bible study, right?
Right.
No other way. But, you know, even though I usually don't feel like doing, like, those, like, that, you know, particular study.
Right.
I've never felt like, oh, I wish I never studied the Bible with Shauna. That was a waste of my time, you know? I wish I never counted the cost with Nicole.
Right.
You know, that night, like, I could have gone to bed earlier. Like, no! Like, I never regret those things, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that's how God works. When we obey Him and
yeah.
when we make Him happy, it makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're living our purpose.
Yeah.
And look at, you know, instead of me... having more rest or more downtime or whatever, like, oh my gosh, like, there's people here who are going to heaven, right? That is so much more fulfilling and valuable. Same with quiet times too, right? We can apply that same thing with quiet times. Like, I hope you never feel like, I wish I didn't have that quiet time. I could have been doing better things. Like, no, God always gives us refreshment from those times,
right?
And it always feels good to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, when we focus on the have-tos, you're setting yourself up to fail.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you're motivated by performance, oh, I need to do this, I have to do this, or I'm supposed to do this, that leads to perfectionism, which leads to us feeling burdened and burnt out.
Right.
But if you're motivated by God's grace, like, okay, let me think about more Shauna's, more Nicole's, more, you know, Sky's, more all of these women, like, and, you know, more, like, think about all that God has done for me and where I would be and all that. If that's what motivates you, that leads to just being righteousness and obedience from faith in God and from faith in his promises, which then leads to refreshment and fulfillment.
Mm.
So, you know, we could be doing the same things, but one of us makes us burnt out. You know, we're obeying in both situations, but one of the obediences is leading to feeling burnt out and burdened, and the other is leading to refreshment and fulfillment.
Mm.
When we're motivated by grace instead of, well, I'm supposed to do this, or I
right.
have to do this, or someone told me to do this.
Right.
Right? So the difference is in what we're thinking and our attitude, not in what we're doing. I'm definitely not saying it doesn't matter if you read your Bible, it doesn't matter if you share your faith, it doesn't matter if you don't deny yourself, right? Because that's not biblical.
Right.
You know, two people may be doing the same things outwardly, but only one of them is pleasing God.
Right.
Because the other, you know, and one of them is not pleasing God. And one is also feeling burdened, and one is being set free, right?
Mm.
The person who is doing it out of obligation is not pleasing God, versus the person who is doing it, you know, by being motivated by grace, you know. So this is a scenario too to help us understand this. So a brother or sister texts, you know, sends out a text in the group, me, right? Anyone free to share faith? So possible responses we could have, right? Number one, I need to do homework. You know, and hopefully not because you procrastinated. Like, there are times when we actually have to do homework, right?
Yeah.
How else would you pass class, right? So, you know, but now, because you got the text, you're, like, feeling guilty because it's like, oh, I should share, right? It's like, these are all things that we can feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the second person is free, they just don't want to share, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all something we've all felt, too, right?
Yeah.
So the set-free response in those situations would be, the first person knows that it's also obeying God to do your homework and to do school and to do well in school and
right.
not feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
And know that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that you have God's approval, like Jesus, you'll naturally, you're going to share it another time. You're
yeah.
doing that because
right.
that's who you are.
Right.
It's your heart, right?
Yeah.
And you're motivated by grace. So it's not like, oh, I have to do it's at the exact time someone asked me to if I need to do homework. Like, no, I can, I'm already doing that at other times, right? Because that's just who I am. I'm a disciple.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the second person that I just don't feel like you person, right? Well, you know, why don't you want to? Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Are you, like, lazy? You just don't feel like it? We have those times too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're being selfish.
Yeah.
You know, then that person should think, well, what would please God? Where would I be if someone didn't share faith with me or my parents? And then they should decide to obey and act on faith,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And understanding that you're a sinner, you don't deserve to be saved or saving other people, right?
Right.
But wanting to please God, wanting to help other women become Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see how we have to, like, check our heart in each situation and, like, you know, try to have the right heart.
Yeah.
So it's the pressure that we're feeling when we get that text, like, anyone for your sure faith. That's not the problem.
Right.
There wasn't a wrong text to send.
Right.
It's okay that people want to text other people and go around and share faith together, right?
Yeah.
That's not the problem. The problem is our mindset behind it.
Mm-hmm.
How we view the text as like, oh, stress, guilt, pressure. You know, that's what's wrong. That's what needs to change. And it's the same with quiet times too. You know, when we need to have quiet time. Like, that's not wrong. You know, we do need to. It's our mindset. We need to want to do that. You know,
right.
that should, that's the goal where we want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's thinking, you know, thinking about our heart. You know, different places where our heart could be. Entitlement. I think forgetting that you don't deserve to be a disciple or be in the church.
Yeah.
feeling critical, like, oh, the church is this and that, or that brother's this and that, he's just, you know, this and that, feeling critical. You know, but that's when we think, okay, well, is what they're doing biblical? Is that okay for that person to, you know, present that goal or ask those people to share faith? Yes, that's okay. You know, maybe that works for them. And that's fine, you know, and you're different. And as long as you're obeying God, right, and trying to reach out to people and seek and save the lost, then that's, you know, good for, you're doing that too. Amen. Both of you are doing it, right? So apathetic, that's another thing that our heart can be. I think,
right.
You know, for me, what helps me with that is writing a current sin list. You know, we do that when we're studying the Bible. We think about all of our sins, but keep doing that again. Like, remembering, I still need God's forgiveness.
Right.
You know, thinking about where would I be and the things that I am struggling with. Like, who am I to, you know, not care about somebody else?
Yeah.
So, remembering that there are more women like each other, like our friends. Like, there are more women like that out there, right? So how do you respond when provided with opportunities to obey God? The point of this is not to overanalyze or overthink our motives, because that will get us nowhere, right? Like, the point is not, well, I shouldn't have a quiet time because my heart is not in the right place about it. Or I shouldn't share faith because I'm not in, like, a want-to place about it. No, like, because we still need to just obey, right? That's what
right.
we're talking about. But, you know, no matter where your heart is, the right thing to do is always to obey.
Yeah.
Amen. Always. It's always to obey God. You know, what usually holds me back is selfishness. So when I realize that, like, with, you know, there's a study I need to be in, and I am free and all that, I just don't want to, then when I think about, well, why don't I want to? Because I'm selfish. And it's not that, then I don't need to get, like, stuck and, like, oh my gosh, I'm selfish. I need to have a due time before I can help this person to, like, be convicted of my selfishness and to, like, you know, beat myself up. Like, no, like, okay, I can repent of that. Like, that's all you do. Like, you see what your sin is and then you just repent, right? So I'm going to not be selfish and I'm going to say yes, you know, to the study, right?
Right.
Or to whatever it is, to serving in any way. So we don't need to get, the point of this is not to get stuck or, like, overanalyze, because we still want to obey. The point is, we want to be living that life to the full that Jesus talks about, right? We want to be feeling this burden, this not burden, this, like, set free life that the Bible describes.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that even in our bad weeks or bad months, God still loves us the same and will continue to love us the same and to try to grow us to be perfect
right.
as long as we're trying and doing our best. And just as God is so willing to give grace to us, you know, we need to show grace to ourselves instead of beating ourselves up.
Right.
Just repent and move forward. Amen?
Amen.
But I think it is just good for us to think about, why do I do what I do?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that's good is because, you know, hopefully when you got baptized, you made Jesus Lord because you loved Jesus.
Yeah.
And you wanted to live your life for Jesus. But I think over time, you know, maybe you're studying the Bible and you're not there yet and you're already experiencing this, but over time it could become about people and about what our friends are doing, what the church is doing, what the campus ministry is doing, what our friends at campus are doing, right? So, but what's bad about that is then what happens when you graduate out of campus?
Right.
Now you're not going to be righteous or obey God in the same way because you don't have that same accountability that was given to you in the campus ministry, right?
Right.
Or what if your best friend falls away? Are you just gonna crumble and, you know, like, no, like, that's why it can't be about people. That's why we do have to analyze and think
right.
about, why do I do what I do?
Yeah.
Is it because I love God and I want to please God?
Yeah.
So why do you do what you do? Is it for the campus ministry or is it for God?
Right.
I think an important scripture to always go back to is Mark 12, verse 28 to 31. This is when Jesus is saying the most important commandment, and that's why it's important to always go back to, right? Jesus says, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So all of your heart might look different from all of my heart, right?
Yeah.
And all of Shauna's strength might look different from all of Marie's strength.
right? Like, that's why when we study the Bible with someone, it's so different each time, because every person's so different. And making Jesus Lord is so different for every person. Not different in the standards different, but different in, like, for me, it's going to look different as a mom and a wife than it would for Sky, you know? As just a college student, a single college student, right? So that's why for some of us, you know, loving God with all of our heart might mean an hour-long quiet time. It might mean that. For others, it might be shorter. For some of us, loving God with all of our strength might mean sharing with 100 people. For some of us, it might be just having that one Bible study where you invest all of your heart into that girl, and you're like becoming her best friend, just giving your all to that one girl because you're, you know, taking 20 credits and, you know, so like it's, but what matters is that you give all of your heart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Come on, Chelsea.
And, you know, so each of us need to figure out, what does loving God with all of me look like for me? What does it mean for me to give my best to God? And, you know, for me, I get a ton of input about this, especially in this new stage of life, because it's so hard for me not to compare myself to other moms or to my pre-child self. So I just get a ton of advice of, like, you know, should I go to this? Should I not go to this? Should I do this? Should I do this? Because I'm trying to figure out, well, what does it look like right now, you know?
Right.
And so it's not about comparing, and it's also not about judging. Like, it does not help when we pass judgment on each other, right? About the things that we're doing when someone is sincerely trying to do our best.
Right.
So this doesn't mean no one should be discipling you or helping you or correcting you at all, right? Because that would not be biblical.
Right.
But we also don't want to be judging each other. If someone's really doing their best and it's not as what your best looks like, then that's okay as long as it's their best, right? But we want to help each other be our best for God's. And it's okay to understand that we're different. Like Rob and I, we're different, so it looks a little different.
Right.
But right now you're building the foundation of your discipleship in these young college years that you have, you know. That if your foundation is guilt or what others are doing, then you're not going to be motivated outside of campus ministry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then that scares me for our church, because then I think about, well, what kind of, like, you know, what is our singles ministry going to look like? What is our married ministry going to look like if you guys aren't getting that? You know, if you're not motivated by wanting to please God,
right?
Then that's a scary thought, you know? So that's why it always needs to be about God and not about people. Because we want our church to be growing in all of the stages that we're in, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think about Jesus with the Samaritan woman. What's interesting about that is that he was with his disciples, Jesus was, and then his disciples left. And he was alone with this woman. And what did he do? He still reached out to her, even though he was alone. So it wasn't about, well, me and the disciples are going around sharing, you know? It was, like, that's just who Jesus was. So he didn't care who was around or who was, you know, that's just who he was, you know? You know, for me, too, this is kind of like, that's what I'm realizing, too, is once you kind of get out there in the real world, it is just between you and God when you do and what you don't do, you know? I was at the gym, like Bradley's little kid gym, 2 days ago, and, you know, I ended up sitting by a woman. Both of our kids were playing with the same thing. And it's like, because I had a great quiet time, I really think that's the only reason. It was like on my mind to talk to her, you know, but it was because of my quiet time. I know it was, because there are times when I don't even think of that, or I think of it but just don't want to. But I was like, I gotta find a way to talk to her, you know. And turns out she's a college student. She's 20 years old, has kids the same age as me. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, now I'm just imagining how hard her life is. Oh gosh, being a single mom with two kids, you know, that young, and how badly she needs God. You know, I don't even know her, but I know she needs God, you know. So, you know, but I do that, you know, I talk to her because of me and God. Because I want to please God, I want to make God happy, you know, not because I'm part of the campus ministry. You know, I didn't even know she was a college student. God just works that way. You know, and same thing with my quiet time. It's funny, since I'm getting a lot of advice about my schedule and all that, and one of the things I struggle with guilt is that my quiet times don't look the way they used to, because I don't have time the way I used to as a mom. And every time I get advice about that,
it's always like, well, it can't, but like what Allison's saying, yeah. Like, it's like, well, it can't because your mom, you don't sound right. Okay, so I kept getting that advice, but then I kind of realized, like, but I know I could do more. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, my second partner was being super gracious with me, as she always is. But like, I was like, but I know I'm not giving God my best.
Yeah.
You know, so then for me, now I've taken it up a notch, you know, because I'm like, I want to keep growing. I want to be my best for God.
Right.
But, you know, that's, I know I need God, you know, but those are all things. That's what you want to do that once you, you know, start hashtag adulting. You want, but like, you want to, you need to be able to get motivated from God,
right?
You know, not from a person, a sermon, all of those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that those are things are bad, but our ultimate motivation needs to be God and wanting to please God, right?
Yeah.
And grace and all that. We always want to be motivated by God's grace. We are set free by God so that we can be set free by God. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So just remember, ladies, you already have God's approval.
Yeah.
So let's be women who joyfully take on a lifestyle that pleases God, our husband, and remember that God has done great things for us so that he can do great things through us. Amen.